Bum, 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 bum. Oh, yeah, there's my beeps. Commenting really on All One Word and his thoughts on Audio Boo. That's the title of his boo, his post. Oh, I've got lots to say. I better try and be succinct. Are they boos or are they posts? I'd heard on the grapevine that Audio Boo were trying to call them posts now. Bore me to tears. My goodness, I know. Let's try and get rid of our uniquenesses, shall we? And conform and be like everyone else. Yeah, let's call them posts because everyone else does. So it's now, am I an audio post? Is it audio post? Feb post wary. That's going to work, isn't it? Fed post. Feb postery. Yeah, that'll work. And, I don't know, what else can we have? Happy post year instead of happy boo year, because that's one of my hashtags once. Welcome to audio post. It's where you send something with an address on it and it gets to someone else. You have to remember to put a stamp on it, otherwise the post office will charge you money for not putting the right payment on. I don't know, man. It's like, so yeah, someone could quash or confirm that rumour. That would be good. That's like the BBC suddenly deciding that they were going to say this is a download from the BBC rather than this is a BBC podcast. And I totally agreed with, I wish you could find it in archives. Chris Moyles did a whole thing about why are you calling it, and the whole having to get rid of his podcast jingles for the download ones. It was funny. Very funny. Anyway, that's the first thing. Secondly, the beta testing thing. I was a beta tester, or I am a beta tester. Well, certainly was on the last boo, and I hope I'll continue to be, who knows. I don't think I'm speaking outside of any non-disclosure agreement, because there wasn't one as far as I know, and also we're talking in retrospect about something that is now in the public domain, so that would be my qualifying statement as regards to why I'm speaking about it now. And why I wouldn't have spoken about it before. And I won't break a non-disclosure agreement, even if there's a tacit referral to one, which there wasn't, and even if there was a sort of nod towards it, which there wasn't. So I think, and I'm talking in retrospect, that's my terms and conditions out of the way. I was very vocal about the beeps. Don't lose the beeps, don't lose the beeps. If you go into my audio blog, VI Podcasting, you can look down a couple of three boos and you'll find I did it, like there's a vocoder app you can get with the iPhone, and I did a thing about keeping the beeps. And I also said to some Mama Manders, maybe, was having a go at the beta testers, and I said, don't have a go at the beta testers. Well, and at least was prepared to stick up for myself, because as one of them, because I did say, you can't lose the beep, dudes. And there were a few other things as well to do with understanding the way that the trimming works. I think people are getting that misunderstood as well. I'm pretty sure I heard someone trim in such a way that the end part of their boo was at the beginning of their boo. But I'm not sure how that happened. But I think it might have done. I think what they might have done is recorded something and then added to it, and the additional bit came first. I think that's kind of what happened, but I'm not sure. Anyway, that I wasn't sure how that worked. For example, there were a few error codes that were coming up and different things when you try to do certain things. The commenting in, I think, is a double-edged sword, to be quite honest. Some people like it. I like the idea of just throwing a quick comment, but I am likely to make audio anyway if I really want to come back to something someone said. So a comment of several paragraphs wouldn't be the same as commenting in text, wouldn't be the same as commenting in audio in the way that I am to All One Word and Claire and others who've already commented on this particular thread. Or boovisation. Maybe we should go to the whole kind of boo thing. So if we have boos, we should have a boovisation instead of a thread. I don't know. Anyway, so I can't remember what else. But I've got emails to and from myself and Jonathan, I think it was, that I was dealing with on audio boo. But I phoned them about something else. And then I said, oh, while I'm here, do you want anyone else to be a beta tester? And they said, yeah. And he put me on straight away, well, within 24 hours or whatever. So, but it's a bit weird because the build, they don't have, I don't know, the build isn't separate. Like, I've beta tested for Bosjak before, and they have a separate build that they use so that it doesn't impact, it doesn't install it over your existing release version. So that's quite good in my opinion, because it means that you can compare the two, and that's always a good thing to be able to compare to what you've got, because you know you don't want to put the baby out with the bathwater, do you? And often that can happen if a beta tester doesn't have anything to compare the new to the old. In other words, there's a big helicopter thing coming over, one of those police ones, I think. Anyway, I think that's probably all I've got to say, really. I mean, regards commenting again, yeah, as I said, I'm more likely to comment in short bursts in terms of the text commenting. So for me, it's useful just to throw a comment, not a throwaway comment, but a comment that doesn't need me to press the record button and speak and then whatever. You know, you just quickly, if you've got your keyboard in front of you, you can just make a comment. And that's good, you know. So I don't see it's necessarily a bad thing, but I can see what people are saying that it might be detracting from. And do you know what? The truth is, we don't know, because if you're getting more text comments, it's probably an indication of the fact that yes, that's easier for people, but they might not have commented at all on your post. Whereas now, at least you're getting comments. Quick comment on the community. I think the audiobook community is very small, really, by comparison to other social networks. I'm not overly sure what they would be floating, if I'm being honest. I think it's just to raise money. They want to raise about £4 million from the article I read to move forward with things or to survive. I don't know which. So actually, I think, if anything, they're taking a gamble, and it's a risk. Not one that is risk averse by any means. I think it's, to me, it speaks more of a hope, really, and hope and a prayer that they'll raise money on the stock exchange. Not that being on the stock exchange is necessarily an advantage. That's how I see it. I think it's a money raising potential. And as I said, with that comes risk, as you know. Anyone that does any of that kind of thing knows that it comes with risk. So I don't know much more about shares than that, but I think that's probably the premise on which they're going on. I think in terms of what's sellable, I mean, I think once the corps have bought channels and things like that, there's some advertising to some extent, but. Again, who are they speaking to? Well, they'd be mainly speaking to people who subscribe to the service, which are community. So the community should be important to them for that reason, because otherwise there's no one to sell the advertising to, is there? So that makes sense to me, that you would want to keep your community alive and well. And I think that's the thing, recruiting into the community is not being easy. You know, they may even be looking to be bought by SoundCloud / Facebook / whatever. Who knows? I don't think there is any clarity. I don't think that, the only person that all one word alluded to in knowing more was Pilgrim Chris, and I don't think, frankly, Pilgrim Chris knows any more than anyone else. I would be surprised, very surprised. I don't think Audio Boo, they may have a plan, but it the front end of the service doesn't necessarily indicate that there's a good plan in the back room. You would expect a business with a good plan and a very definite direction for that to be evident in its front end activities, I would suggest, but that's just a suggestion based on the fact that I work in business, and so I know a little bit about business planning, continuity, you know, marketing plan, all that kind of thing. And you know, you do your one 3 and 5 years perhaps, and that kind of thing. So yeah, not sure. We shall see in the fullness of time, but I don't think anyone outside Audioboo knows. And you can work the rest out for yourself based on what I've said in terms of whether I think that there is a vast, massive sense of a plan within Audioboo. But I love Audioboo, and you know, it's good. I wouldn't want to see it fall by the wayside because it wasn't prepared and stuff. And I think it's got, you know, it's a big thing. It's a getting people. There is an interest in audio, but audio production podcasting was always free. And I think, like with any social networking, when you try to monetize it, in too much of a direct way, it's counterproductive because people had it for free to begin with. Podcasting worked, you know, because there was always a niche community. There was, you know, you could be into, I don't know, walking, and there would be thousands of people that would subscribe to your walking podcast. Whereas if it was a music related one, like a commercial station or something, there'd be thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions perhaps, because of followers, because they were into that. So, you know, there was always a niche for what you do, because suddenly we had access to the global, a global reach, you know, a global audience, literally a global audience. Anyone that could speak English, particularly if it was an English podcast, you had a good chance that you would get good followers, lots of downloads, lots of followers, lots of downloads. And really, as I said, that was all based on the fact that it was free because it was your content you were putting up in the main. And people, while they may pay 60 quid a year for extra space on Audioboo, that would be the extent to which they would want to pay for anything. Then I guess once you've sold the channel, then you've sold it. Trying to then point advertising at people is a difficult premise, or because people think, well, I've already paid for it, so why am I being asked to pay more? In effect, they just want to get on and listen to the content, hopefully. So there's my thoughts. I think I'm sure other people can add more. I'm always sort of at pains not to try and say too much, because people need to have their opportunity. I'll speak to you all soon. My taxi's here. Bye for now.